She sat down with them and drank with them in her mind. And then she patted some of the people she still knew on the shoulder and took their hands to look. She knew, now she was no longer human, and this person here did not feel her at all, had no idea that Rissy was sitting next to him and tracing the lines of his hand. And so, as a spirit, she could then see when he would also cross over. She could see that, and not just from the line of his hand, but it was quite clear in his book of life, so she could see that. She also tried to start conversations with the spirits of these people who were sitting there, but it never came to a real conversation, because everyone was talking to each other. She spoke to the spirit, and the person spoke, and she couldn't understand anything. It's just like when you're with several people and one person speaks and the other interrupts him, and the conversation goes back and forth at the table, and in the end you can't understand anything. It was the same with her. There was too much talking and she couldn't understand anything, and when she had taken her drink, she left. She was interested in this new world, seen from her current perspective. So she went to the parsonage. As a person, she had often spoken to the priest, that is, the priest had sometimes reprimanded and admonished her. Because there had already been various things for which she had been to blame, and the priest had done that. She didn't take it badly. People like her weren't sensitive anyway. So she went to the priest in the parsonage, looked around, and sat down for a while. But then she saw that the priest was always praying, and she didn't like that. Now she went to church because she was very interested in who went to church. She noticed that beings of her kind also returned to earth and perhaps sought help in the church. So she didn't go there to get help, but rather out of curiosity. There she saw the sexton, whom she knew from her lifetime and who was doing his work there. She followed him for a while. She didn't really trust him. This sexton had a purse and she had the feeling that this sexton wasn't entirely honest, so she never let him out of her sight, from morning to evening. So she always stayed close to him to find out, and it was true, this sexton wasn't honest, he took something now and then when the opportunity arose. Rissy now thought, yes, not everything is necessarily so honest there either, and that too in a house of God. She herself had sometimes had to help out a little to get money, but not in a house of prayer. She then went to the pastor, spoke to him and told him that the sexton was not honest. But the pastor heard nothing and heard nothing. He was also somewhat old, and so Rissy thought, perhaps I will meet you when you are dead too, and I will tell you and bring it to light. These were her thoughts. They were completely superfluous, because the wrong that the other man had done was obvious after his earthly death. No one needed to say that, the spirits of God had seen it long ago. And this pastor would then also be told what had been taken away. So there would be no need to talk about it. Now Rissy went away again, because she did not like it here in the church either. She had now seen it and actually wanted to talk now. Now she found her way to a, what do you call it? Gambling house, where people played for money, secretly of course. She actually liked it here, there was a lot of drinking and she had the opportunity to talk to these men and even take possession of them. She could laugh, she had the feeling that she could use the mouths and organs of these men to laugh and to talk. She had entered into these men, now into this one and now into that one, and she could of course see more than these men could with their earthly eyes. She could also read their thoughts, and things were not always honest, but everything was clear to her, and so she could also see when someone was thinking of cheating. And so she had the opportunity to intervene, and she did so, but in favor of a player she liked, who would then win. So she played her game, and she liked it very much. And so she found herself there regularly, for a long time. In between she made further visits here and there. She went in and out of private houses and lay down to rest, just where she felt it was most comfortable. And so she did not ask for a higher order. She just liked life like that. She was free, thought nothing more and believed that it would continue like that. In this life she found her heavenly bliss, because her thoughts were as follows: if there were a high heaven, then it would have to take me in. But there isn't one, this high heaven. This is my bliss, the one I live in now, and I like it. That was her modest thought. She just wanted to be able to live without worries and have a good life. Her needs were quickly satisfied. She didn't have great demands. And it was a small thing for her to get away 100 kilometers in a very short time and settle down in a nice house. If there wasn't a guard there who grabbed her hard and sent her out again straight away, she could settle down here or there for a while. Just a side note, human homes can be protected and guarded by the spirit world of God. But homes can also be of no interest to her. She is indifferent to them when the people who live there are indifferent to the divine world. Then spirits of a lower kind come and go and use these earthly dwellings as their homes and as a piece of heaven. But all of this is only for a short time, temporary. Well, this Rissi felt happy in this life. Now and then she had met acquaintances who had also died and who had made her aware that she should strive for a higher, better life. But she did not want to know anything about it. She just laughed because she was content. She did not want anything more. She said, "I have heaven. What more do you want? What is there that is more beautiful than what I have? I feel neither hunger nor thirst. I do not need clothes. What I have is enough for me." She was modest, she had never been used to anything else, and her greatest pleasure was to ask a passing spirit brother for his hand and to say something about his future. Over time she was content with that, even without payment. She had long since noticed that it no longer existed. But now, over time, the higher spiritual world did take care of this Rissi. She had been given freedom for long enough, so she could do what she wanted. And when she was once again with these gambling men and was playing with them as before, a noble higher spiritual being suddenly came, took her by the hand and led her away from this environment. This Rissi naturally resisted and said, "You have no right to do that. Who are you? I am free and I can do what I want." "Oh no," was the energetic response. "Now what you have done is enough. Now you must start a different life. Because you yourself cannot come to the conclusion that you should live differently. Why do you think the heavenly world is so small? You are a lower spirit who is ascending, with whom we have a lot of patience and understanding. But when the time comes, we must get him. And now it is time for you." She didn't really have much to say against it. Because if she really thought about the whole thing, then it might be true that there was a better and higher world than the one she was still experiencing. And then the angel of God said, "As a human, you went to church and prayed. You also knew about Christ. You celebrated Christmas and the other Christian holidays with your children. Well, what do you think? After death everything is gone. There is nothing true about it. Don't you think that we have reason to celebrate here too? Have you forgotten the Christmas celebration? Have you forgotten Easter?" "Oh yes," she had to admit, "but I thought that was now superfluous." "Oh no," replied the angel, "these are times of remembering the life of the Savior. You must let yourself be taught now." And so she finally allowed herself to be led back to the spiritual world. This spirit of God had to take them to a house where there were many other spirit brothers and sisters like them, and they had to learn, learn, nothing but learn. Rissi could not write, could not read, could not do arithmetic, but that is not the main thing. She should now also learn the basic rules of the Christian faith. She should also be taught the meaning and purpose of human life, including her own life, what the meaning of the life she had lived had and what she had done for her progress. Such a being must be taught according to his spiritual abilities. Here I must make another comment. One should not simply believe that all wisdom will be revealed to every soul when it leaves the earthly body, when it has been put aside and it is in the other world. If you were stupid or uneducated as a human being, you will still be stupid or uneducated when you entered the spiritual world. If you were skilled, this skill will also be there. I would like to make a restriction. Special abilities can be taken away from a spirit being temporarily so that it does not hinder its ascent. One knows how to intervene in one case or another. It can also be possible for a sibling who has already ascended spiritually to be denied a special, pronounced intelligence, but this is also done so that its ascension is not hindered. Because one knows the nature of such an ascending spirit sibling, sister or brother, one can look back into previous lives and thus know how to integrate such an ascending being. In this way, something of one person's special intelligence can be taken away from him temporarily in a human life. This is part of special intervention. I would like to emphasize this expressly so that one does not say that it was said one time this way and another time that way. So that is this intervention. But usually it is, as I mentioned, if a person tries to educate himself, to refine his nature, to ennoble his thoughts and will, then this is a precious property of the soul. These are treasures that do not dissolve, that cannot perish, so the person benefits from them after his earthly death. But if, as I already mentioned at the beginning, his nature, his thinking, is primitive, of a low nature, hateful, mean and so on, then that is also his nature, which cannot do otherwise. It is precisely the personality that develops. And now back to Arisi. So she had to go to school and in this way be taught in the most modest way possible. She made the effort for this. And of course she was also required to join the spiritual brothers and sisters of her level in order to go with them to worship and to venerate, to honor God, as is natural in the world of God. Led by one or more higher spiritual brothers and sisters, these ascenders are either led into a hall that is specially decorated, even if it is on a lower level, or they may gather somewhere in an open space to give glory to God. So they do not neglect to pray, even if this is not always specifically emphasized in our reports. For all these brothers and sisters are made aware of who their real Father is, who the Creator of all life is, and that he must be revered and prayed to. They must greet him with prayer, ask him for forgiveness in prayer, implore him for help, because the Creator is the giver. He also gives the lower, ascending spiritual brothers and sisters the opportunity to return home and the support that they can ascend to the heights again. God is the giver, the good one, the loving one. You can turn to him in your worries, you can do it in your thoughts, in the conversations with the angels who pass on these needs, these requests of the petitioners, in order to give them the help they deserve. This is how Arisi learned. She learned something about God's plan of salvation, she learned to pray, and she also had to learn to read and write. This may seem a little strange to many of you, or especially to those who do not know the spiritual language, but it is true. What the spirit does not possess, it does not possess, as I have emphasized. Now Arisi had slowly moved from one class to another at school until she had reached the stage of development where one could demand something else of her. She had now made an effort. She had not returned to the earthly world. She allowed herself to be completely influenced and taught by the higher world, for she was not malicious in her nature. I have indicated this to you. She was not sensitive. Those people at that time were not like that at all. Their nature was different in this respect. People also had an understanding for the clumsiness of others, and they simply lived differently than today. Well, through her goodwill and because she was not evil, she was actually rather clever. She had been forced to do what she did by the hardships in her family, which was taken into account by the divine world because she was not bad or malicious in her nature. She had paved the way for her own ascension and could now be taught and guided further by the higher world. She could be made to understand what is the law in the divine world and what must be learned. Now it was made clear to her that she also had to carry out an activity, and she could also contribute something to alleviating the suffering of the spiritual brothers and sisters who were even lower down. It was explained to her that they were quite happy to go down into the depths with spiritual brothers and sisters of her kind to the unfortunate, to those who were evil in their nature, who had even killed people, slandered people, simply done people wrong and who were now banished. These people can also receive some comfort and support from other, slightly higher ranking spiritual brothers and sisters, and she was now to give her support to such beings. So she had been taught at school, and now she was to show what she had learned. A higher spirit accompanied her, but he remained invisible to those beings in the depths, so this sister was allowed to step forward. She was now to start a conversation with these spiritually suffering brothers and sisters and bring them comfort. This Rissi was actually very suitable for this. She told them a lot about the life she had lived, about her suffering and her fortune-telling. She did not hide from them how she herself had not been included in God's order for quite a long time, but that she had never been banished. And she told them that they should finally look within themselves and become repentant, that they should change their thinking and start to be interested in the future, in the higher life. In this way she was able to give consolation to some. And in doing so she had resorted to a means that was simply tailored to her, and that was palm reading. This was simple in her nature, she had not forgotten it, and so she even asked these unfortunate people, "Give me your hand, I can tell you approximately when you will be freed. I can tell you how long you still have to wait and how you will fare afterwards." She did not even have to take their hand, because the angel of God had already informed her how long this or that person would have to remain in exile. He had taught them how to give these suffering souls some hope, some comfort and confidence. This way Rissi could also tell them that it would not be long before they were freed, or that they still had to hold out for this time. And so she simply used the hand as a tool and explained, "I can see it clearly, because the lines are just like in your human life. I see that liberation is not far away, now you have to hold out until this liberation comes. I see it coming very soon." And when Rissi then told stories from her life, how she had read the palms of so many people and guessed many things, they believed her when she said, "I can see the light coming soon. These beings are still at a low level and still think humanly, they are not yet able to think higher. And how happy they are when it really is like that, when Rissi comes and says, 'Now you are being taken away.' I was right, but this palm reading was just a tool that she used, something that came naturally to her. Like someone else who is musical and can sing, she could work in this way. So she had conquered her assent. Through her willingness to help, through a certain kindness, she was able to do her part to comfort these unfortunate people. And that is something additional that ascending spirit brothers and sisters can do for those who are lower down. And so she made a keen effort. They taught her, they explained to her, "You see, your past earthly life is not the last one you will live." They taught her to understand that reincarnation does exist, and that one is reincarnated several times and thus ascends, step by step. And when she had come to this realization and this knowledge had taken hold within her, she formed the will, "I want to have a better life in my future life. I want to learn and I want to be able to earn my bread in a different way." And the angels of God support her. Because when such spiritual brothers and sisters make an effort to be taught, and this applies not only to this Rissi, but in general, then they are taught and thereby promote their own advancement. And so Rissi is still on her way to being able to ascend. She is helpful and good. So I only need to call her and say, "Come and offer your help here and there," and she does it. So, dear brothers and sisters, I tried to give you an insight into the laws of God. In this way you can enrich your knowledge and can recognize what life is like in the spiritual world, that the spirits of God descends deep down and are ready to take everyone by the hand and give everyone the opportunity to move forward. Such returnees are allowed to be free for a certain time, but this freedom must also be given a higher level. Now, dear brothers and sisters, the time is up and I leave God's blessing to you all. May He protect and watch over you on all your paths. May you who are sick recover in body and soul. God bless you. Report of the experience of Spirit Teacher Joseph through his mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Mar 1 Quartington Stress, Zurich. Original, tape recording next case. October 7, 1970. Elizabeth and Jacob's close bond through the bond of spiritual kinship. Common happiness and fulfillment in their work as servants of God's angels. Joseph, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, I have the task of telling you about two spirit brothers and sisters. They asked me to do so, and so they let me look into their book of life, for the life of man is recorded, in the soul, like in a picture book. You have the opportunity to pick it up at any time, leaf through it and look back, as I was able to do with these two spirit brothers and sisters. So they asked me to take it on for them, and they have now opened their book of life to me. I leafed through it, and now am I want to tell you about them, something about their past earthly life and their entry into the spiritual world. I would like to assume that these explanations will also help you a little with your spiritual insights. They were a mother and son who were allowed to live together. The son was called Jacob, the mother Elizabeth. Jacob's father died early, and the two had to provide for their own living. Jacob had to start working early in order to earn money. The life of the two of them dates back about 100 years. Jacob had started working in the forest. He was a forest worker and also worked for a forester for a time. He worked in the forest in all seasons. When he came home tired in the evening, his mother had already prepared a meal for him and they sat together for a while and talked. But Jacob always wanted to go to bed early because he had to get up very early. For many years, Jacob was allowed to be with his mother because his good mother was very old. In the last years of her life, she could no longer contribute to her livelihood and so everything was in Jacob's hands. But the two had a close bond. They got on very well and lived a truly harmonious life together. One worked and lived for the other and felt and suffered with the other. So they got on very well with each other in their hearts and souls and also felt a close spiritual bond. The elderly mother always made sure that Jacob took his food with him into the forest because he went early in the morning and then came back home late in the evening. So he actually had, most of the time had a backpack or a bag slung over his shoulder, and in it he had the necessary provisions and sometimes also some bandages or something similar. In case of an accident he had the most necessary things in his bag or backpack. Well, I don't really want to say anything more about that and will just tell you about his mother's passing. She was led into the spiritual world by the angels. She was, I would like to emphasize this again, a kind woman who always helped her fellow human beings in need as best she could and who gave her fellow human beings a lot of understanding and love. So the mother and her son were respected people in the village in which they lived. Even though they were very modest people and did not have an abundance of earthly goods, they had earned the respect of their fellow human beings through their noble lives. The mother was now led home by the angels and they said to her, "You can now take up a beautiful position in the divine world." But the angels did not really trust that Elizabeth would accept this wonderful position, and so it was. The mother asked to return to her room to wait for her son when he came home from work. And so, even as a spirit, she had the desire to prepare and have his meals ready. So she did it for a while and always waited for her son. And when he came back in the evening, she sat very close to him and began to talk to him. Greater than but this son was plagued by longing for his mother, he really longed for her. He was also a pious, helpful and kind person. Of course he could not see or hear his mother, and yet he felt as if she was near him. And so he spoke to himself in his mind. Without actually seeing his mother, he told her everything that had happened during the day, what he had experienced in the forest with people and animals. He told all of this as he had been used to doing when she was alive. So he acted as if she were there and listening to him. But he did not see her and had no idea that she was now actually next to him and really listening to him. She was very pleased that her son was telling her everything. But she was a little depressed because he could not see her. She also spoke to him, she also made her comments, but he could not perceive them. And so it went on for a long time. But when Jacob lay down to rest and his spirit separated from his body, then his mother was also next to his spirit and they could talk to each other. The mother gave her son advice on how he should do things without her in the future, and Jacob answered. They discussed the things that they believed were necessary to discuss. Because this mother soul, and this must be said, still felt so earthbound and was not able to elevate her son's spirit, instead they remained on this level of the earth and discussed human things with each other. But it was not to continue like this forever, it was only temporary, as long as this mother was still tied to her son and to the place of residence. The angel world observed everything and regretted that this mother soul could not immediately decide to start her new path. And when these two were together again and Jacob was talking to himself about everything that had happened during the day and believed that his mother was listening to him, he believed it in his mind, but actually didn't think at all about whether it was actually so, but was simply compelled from within to talk to himself like this, because he felt liberated by it, just talking out loud to his mother. When he was once again talking to his mother in his mind, an angel came along. But the angel could only be seen by the mother, because she was a spirit, while the son was embodied. The angel then asked the mother to leave her son and to make preparations for him in the spiritual world, because he too would enter the spiritual world one day, and he would certainly be very happy if his mother had also made provisions for him in the world beyond. This made an impression on the mother, who was so closely connected to her son. She saw that it was actually pointless to sit there and listen to him. She then decided to go away with this angel, but asked that the angel world keep a watchful eye on Jacob and that it would look after and protect him. This was promised, and she was also told that she could also check on him from time to time. She was also told how long her son would have to live in this world. He would not live as long as she did. He could enter the spiritual world sooner. And so it was time she should make the preparations for him. Then she decided to do so and escaped with this angel from the earth into the higher spiritual planes. It is a heaven that this mother was allowed to enter. The angelic world praised her for the goodness and love that she was able to express during her lifetime, and she also praised the noble life of her son. But she was also told that she had to undergo purification for a temporary period in order to completely abandon human thinking. After that, a wonderful task would await her. At first she could only marvel at the glory of this new world. Everything was new to her. As a human being she had not been taught about the reality of this other world. Now they did it, and it soon seemed to this mother soul as if everything was actually familiar to her. It did not seem so strange to her. As a human being she had believed or suspected that the heavenly world must be a world of glory. For during her lifetime she was biased, but she had her own idea of a heaven. She had not suspected that she would continue to live as a spiritual being as she did now, but she had assumed that heaven must appear in splendor. Well, there was a reason why these feelings were expressed in this way. She was an elevated being in spirit and had been led to these heights in spirit even when she was sleeping or when her body was resting and had already had some experiences there, but these could not penetrate into her consciousness. The angelic world now explained to her that some things still had to be cleared up and that the best thing to do would be if she went to a quiet place during the time that had been set aside for her. That is, she could go to a house and hear beautiful heavenly music there. And while she heard this music, she should try to completely detach herself from earthly things in her thoughts and only realize the spiritual. She should absorb this spiritual music and experience it. All the beauty that she heard through this music and that refreshed her soul, was supposed to give her a spiritually elevated mood and peace. And so it happened. By allowing this music to work its full effect on her, she felt elevated as a spiritual being, and it seemed to her as if this sublime music could make her forget all memories of the human life she had lived. It seemed to her as if this music was leading her into a familiar world where she was now supposed to fulfill her tasks. This wonderful music, which served to make her forget thoughts of her lived life and to resonate with the high and noble, really did that. During this time of purification she felt like a new or different being. One cannot speak of a birth, because she had already experienced this spiritual birth when she laid aside her earthly body, but she felt strengthened and elevated because she had been in this purification for a time predetermined for her. And this purification was not a distress for her soul, that is, for her thinking, but rather this purification meant elevation, strengthening, power, joy, confidence, hope for her. This wonderful time of purification under this sublime music gave her all of this. The angel then fetched her again and noted the change with joy. Now she was to start her new task. The angel revealed to her, "You shall become a servant of the angels of God." She was happy about this, but actually took it for granted, because the lower spiritual world was foreign to her. Purification in distress was foreign to her, spiritual suffering and pain were foreign to her. So she considered her task of being a servant of the angels to be a matter of course.